My name's Jason.
I am Wendy Chess.
It is the cleaning app that has our panelists up in arms. This week on Download This Show, we review Helpling, which aims to do for the cleaning business what Uber has done to taxis. Plus, Google Glass might not be dead, they're bringing it back, but for what purpose? Find out very soon. And Apple TV, what does Apple TV need to compete with the next generation of smart TVs? Get set to find out. This is your guide to the week in technology, the internet and culture. My name is Mark Fennell and welcome to Download This Show. Don't forget, you can tweet along with the show. In fact, we'd love you to tweet along with the show, especially about these topics we've got coming up today. The hashtag is DownloadThisShow. We are here in studio with our panel this week. Claire Connolly is a technology reporter who you can see around the place. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Luke Hopewell is the editor of the technology website Gizmodo Australia. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
First up, Apple. Apple is reportedly set to announce its next generation Apple TV. It'll be the first material update to the Apple TV since about 2012. We're looking at September. I feel like the Apple TV has probably been a, to me, it feels like a long forgotten part of the Apple universe. The rumors are that the new Apple TV will include a touchpad input, an increase in storage, improved operating system, possibly voice control with Siri. But we're in a kind of a crowded market now. You know, there's things like Google Chromecast that people can plug into their TVs. TVs themselves are getting smarter. And the demand for, you know, data into your TV through things like Netflix and stuff like that has increased greatly. So what does Apple need to do to push the market forward? That's what we're talking about today on Download This Show. Again, tweet in. Love to know your thoughts.
I want an actual Apple TV, like a TV TV.
Shaped like an Apple?
Shaped,
is that what I mean?
No, shaped like a television that has all the bells and whistles inbuilt. I want to get rid of all of my boxes. I want to be able to game. I want to be able to access my cable connections, Netflix, Stan, digital television, all through my Apple TV.
So you're talking about not just a little box that goes into your existing TV, an actual Apple TV.
Yes.
Okay, right.
They could charge a premium if it meant that it just took everything in my life and put it in the Apple TV menu and charged everyone a license to be able to use that or something. I don't care how they make it happen, just make it happen.
How about you? What would you want from an Apple TV?
It's curious hearing everyone say that Apple's going to get into making a proper TV with a panel and a screen that you can just buy and stick down on your desk. But the interesting thing is that Apple has no business being in panels. Like they don't make panels. They get their panels from Sharp and Samsung and from all these other third-party retailers. So getting into the panel would just, panel business would just add a lot of money into their supply chain and bump up the cost. I think what they can actually do is learn from Apple Watch and take a very lightweight operating system complete with Siri and lightweight apps with sort of app logic inside the actual unit itself rather than onto a phone, and then bring in apps like Netflix and bring in all of the apps that they currently have so that they can make it a lot smaller so that it can be a competitor to the Chromecast. It's a $50 device now. It's really threatening to a $100 device, which is literally double that money. Plus it's a box which requires its own sort of set top. It needs its own place rather than just plugging straight into an HDMI port.
See, that's a really interesting point. And one of the things that have come up in sort of the rumors around the new Apple TV is that there will be a dedicated app ecosystem for the Apple TV, which, you know, it's one of those things where in your mind, Apple TV have always had sort of apps for it, but it's never really been this kind of populated universe in the same way that there is for phones and tablets. And to be fair, even the Apple Watch, I mean, as embryonic as it is as a product, it does have its own universe. In terms of the sort of apps, I mean, it's obvious that things like Netflix and Stan and catch-up services deserve to be there, but it's sort of an untapped universe in terms of the iOS world. Are there sorts of apps or uses you'd like to see Apple take advantage of with this giant screen that occupies sort of pride of place in most people's houses that I think to this point isn't necessarily being used as well as perhaps it could be?
Yeah, I think at the moment you have to have a look at the ecosystem of, well, not the ecosystem, the problem with Stan and Presto. They're both new streaming services which are born out of Australia, don't have a lot of money, very lean, huge deficit in terms of staffing numbers. Netflix has been around longer, which means it's on every single smart TV and smart platform you can, you know, poke a HDMI dongle at. But the thing with Presto and Stan is that they have to pick their battles based on ecosystem and who's using what. Stan just launched onto to Apple TV, and presto's on its way. But if they opened up a system whereby iOS apps could be ported, that immediately reduces and lowers the bar for people to actually jump into that ecosystem, so that you can say, oh, using the same SDK, I can publish my app onto the Apple TV platform as well. Job done.
Apple gaming platform.
Okay.
I mean, smartphone gaming is, I don't want to say untapped, but it's an emerging industry. We're really only starting to see growth in that area over the last sort of 5 or so years. And in terms of the kind of games that you can get on iOS, they're starting to become more sophisticated, but we haven't yet seen what it's capable of. Now, Apple already has reinvented the screen over and over again, first with the iPod, then the iPhone, then the tablet. Why not a television? And why not a television that actually actively supports a gaming space so that you can take on Google, who is also launching its own gaming service?
It's really interesting you mention AirPlay, because it's great to see how the Apple TV, currently the third generation of that product, fits into the ecosystem of Apple's products. You know, you've got your laptops, and then you've got your tablets, and then you've got your smartphones. All these are doing devices. Then they've got hobby devices, which they call, you know, they don't sell in huge volumes and so on and so forth. You're looking at your iPods and your Apple TVs. That's your hobby product. The Apple TV is an enabler product. With AirPlay mirroring, what they're able to do is they're able to actually say, rather than work to build a huge amount of ecosystem work into the Apple TV itself, how about we actually just use this as an enabler with new generation engines like Metal, their new fast gaming engine, porting stuff like the Unreal Engine and the Unity Engine into a mobile operating space, so that it can then be just sent over a dumb signal to your Apple TV, means that the cost per unit is actually incredibly low. If you want to be gaming on your TV using an Apple product right now, the only way you're really going to do it is with a Mac Mini, which is several hundred dollars more.
Do you know what I would like? I would like my computer back when I use Apple TV. I can use my mobile and I can use my tablet while I'm streaming Apple TV. Why do I have to lose an entire laptop just to be able to port something from my browser to my television?
Here's what's interesting about that, and it's what all the report the reporting of the new Apple TV is what's the remote going to look like? What's it going to look like in terms of, is it going to have a controller on it? Is it going to be a touchpad? Is it going to have a voice button? The curious thing is that what if we flip the script and say, what if there's no controller at all? What if you get what if you get the same basic controller that you get with the normal Apple TV, but to add functionality like a gamepad or like a touchpad or like an app controller, so that you can actually have your Netflix and your Stan, you use that with a phone companion and you automatically pair it with the device over Bluetooth.
See, I don't know why you
energy.
Need a controller at all. Like, exactly. This is the thing. I think
we live in a remoteless universe, Mark Fennell. Let's get with it.
I have enough trouble dealing with the remotes I have in my house. I don't need another
one. Smartphone remote experience is so unpleasant right now across devices, but particularly in the Apple landscape. I feel like this is constant contradiction with Apple, because it's simplified UX so well in so many areas, and then you look at the Apple TV and it's just not there.
Yes, totally. And I will, in my personal experience, I've found the apps for Netflix and Stan via Chromecast to my TV to be very, very, very easy. Like, there's a bit of latency. Like, there's certainly a sitting around waiting for it. But we're talking like a matter of seconds, right? I'm not causing myself physical pain. But in terms of the simplicity of the process, I find it very, very easy. And using an app on a mobile phone to control a television is always going to be easier than some dedicated device, I would assume. I'm happy to be proven wrong with some magical unicorn like a remote of the future.
Just not a remote that I'm going to lose. Like, we have two Apple remotes, one super old, one super, super old, and they get lost constantly, and we're just switching between the two.
Apple remotes are the most losable thing. Like, they sit somewhere between socks and keys for losability. Like, this, the thin chrome ones especially.
Yeah, these devices that slip into a parallel universe when you need them.
The number of times we've thrown out a newspaper, like back when we got newspapers, we've thrown out a newspaper and then a 2 hours later gone, yeah, the remote was definitely in that newspaper, wasn't it? And had to trundle on back to an Apple store and pay way too much money for another remote.
A new search function would be nice too on the Apple TV. That search function is awful. So bad. Why should I have to like click through an entire alphabet just to find a TV show? There's got to be an easier way to do it than that.
And there is. If you want to see, I think if you want to see the future of UX in terms of what Apple's doing with TV, you need to look at what it's doing in other contextual applications right now. If you have a look at its CarPlay product, which ports the most simplistic version of iOS onto your car's in-dash control system so that you don't, you know, get distracted and have a crash, which is not what you want at all. I think if
Noted.
I think if you, it's bad areas. If you, I think if you have a look at that sort of contextual interface, that's where we're going in terms of Apple TV. It's the reason that it looks the way it does right now is because that was a first go at a new contextual interface.
See, I also think that this is one of those arenas where Siri actually could be quite effective.
Very much so.
A lot of people like to joke about Siri being kind of useless, but I will say that the Apple Watch, whilst it is a deeply imperfect product, it's application of Siri and the fact that it leans on Siri so much has kind of led me to test it out a little bit more. Mm. And in doing so, I've realized that actually Siri's kind of workable. Like, she's quite good at quite a number of things. I wouldn't use it in my everyday life, but it's just been an opportunity for me to try it. And I was thinking that lean back experience of watching television matched with voice control, I could maybe see myself doing that because I'm really
don't
very lazy.
I ever want to talk to my television.
But your television's been talking to you for so many years.
But it hasn't. It's been sitting there stoically and silently and only turning on and off when I want it to.
But this is the thing, though. Like, one of the reasons why I think voice control is weird is the prospect of creating noise where noise does not normally exist, right? Mm. So talking to your phone in public is weird unless you're on the phone conversation. But with in your living room, right, the television's already making noise. So it's not like it's a silent environment.
No one's there to call you a dickhead, which is nice.
Well, depends what show you're watching, but, you know, you're shaking your head.
To me, it's more awkward because there's less happening.
My
lounge room is a place of peace and serenity. I don't want to start interrupting that by talking to my television.
You log onto YouTube and just play that fireplace loop for 10 hours.
Yeah,
Minority Report.
Really
did you say,
Siri,
did you mean Minority Report? Did you mean...
I do want to talk about what the other competitors for this are like, because I know Telstra have announced that they're introducing a new streaming box, teaming up with Roku, which is a new streaming set-top box. How does something like that compare to what Apple already have out in the market?
The interesting thing about Roku and Telstra TV is that they're using an existing product which has done really well in the US, which is the Roku 2. They have branded it as a Telstra TV, so no one knows the difference. And they're sort of doing a big sing-along circle with all the services right now, which your Apple TV and your Google Chromecast maybe don't give you. That is Netflix, Stan, Presto, and Big Pond Movies. It's this one big ecosystem. Sure, you don't get iTunes or the Google Play Store in there, but they're hoping that they can sell that as a halo product with their new Telstra home bundles.
I reckon once you've got Stan and Netflix, you don't care about iTunes movies
exactly.
and TV shows.
I you reach a saturation point.
What would you like from the future of television? Doesn't necessarily have to be Apple. What is it that you really want in terms of what that giant screen in your living room does? Let us know on Twitter. The hashtag is DownloadThisShow. We are here in studio with our panel this week. Luke Hopewell is the editor of the tech website Gizmodo, and Claire Conley is a freelance technology reporter. My name is Mark Fennell. A new cleaning platform called Helpling has entered the Australian market, and they're valuing the Australian cleaning... Actually, I want you guys to guess. How much do you reckon that the Australian domestic cleaning market is supposedly worth?
Wait, did an analyst say this?
Yes.
Okay, it starts with a birth a billion, doesn't it?
It does.
All right.
Now, the question is, what number billion?
Probably three.
Claire?
4.2.
Ooh, I like the specificity. The answer, according to IBIS World, is $2 billion, and the new service Helpling is trying to capitalise on it. But we are here with our panel this week. Is Helpling all it could be? Are there things it could do better? Let's pull it apart. Claire Conley, let's start with you.
It could cease to exist.
Oh, wow.
When it comes to hiring a cleaner, there's a lot of politics involved. A lot of the people involved in the industry aren't necessarily documented workers. I'm concerned that an app like Helpling would serve to only cause them more struggle to find legitimate ways of supporting themselves. Look, it does everything you'd want an app to do. I really hate the app. I really do. I would never use it. It makes reviewing it very difficult. The functionality is fine. It's, to me, the same as every other sort of GPS-based...
Can you just crystallise why you hate it for me?
Yeah, I'm still trying to understand that too.
To me,
because I'm really optimistic about this and I hate everything.
It's a deeply cynical ploy. It's going to help rich white companies employ white middle class people to clean your house that don't need that money.
But how do you know that?
Cynically speaking, like I see what you're saying coming from a cynical perspective, but like this app isn't connecting you with guys standing outside of a hardware store looking for work. Like what this What this is actually doing, I think, is giving it's licensing and accrediting these people. Like it's helping. It's not. These people are going to be coming into your house. It's not Helpling's job to come in and say, well, we're going to bring in people to your house that you probably can't trust because they're undocumented workers. It's their job to ensure that the ecosystem of people that they're drawing from are on the level. Genuinely, the last place that, like, you don't know at the moment, like, if the people who are coming to clean your place who you find in the white pages, which is the oldest way of finding someone to do a job ever, is going to be a documented worker or is going to be someone who, socially speaking, is someone who should be cleaning your house. So at the end of the day, I think that just by digitizing it doesn't bring us automatically into this evil world just because we add the word sharing economy.
Here's the way to summarize what I'm feeling about it. It's gentrifying the cleaning industry.
Why? Because you've seen tons of white people working for this organization?
No, I mean, I guess, first of all, when I'm talking about undocumented workers, I mean, like, I want to be able to provide someone with a means to support themselves.
So do I.
To me, this app just corporatizes that industry and it's making it
difficult. You're worried it makes it faceless and takes it away from mom and pop industries, are you?
Yeah. It keeps you safe. It gives you a rating system. You know, everything that you'd want from a cleaning app. It allows you to find people in your area. It gives them a rating out of, 10. It's the Uber of the cleaning industry. That's fantastic for those kind of people. I will continue to go about finding my cleaner a different way.
Here's my thing, is that I disagree with that more than I've ever disagreed with anything ever. Simply because...
Ouch. Wow, we don't have a lot of disagreement on the show. This is... I'm just going to
get
some popcorn. You guys...
Okay, sit back. Mark's in his comfy chair.
Yeah.
Simply because it... The last place that I found a cleaner for to move out of my house, I found him through the Yellow Pages. I went and stole the Yellow Pages that had been sitting on someone's doorstep for literally 8 months. I'm not joking. This isn't hyperbole. This is what I did. And I went and found someone who had an ad in the cleaning section to come and clean my house. I sat down and I called them all, and that was a pain in my ass because I didn't know if any of them were any good. I didn't know if any of my friends had used them. I didn't know if they had a rating. Plus, I didn't know if they were going to come in and steal my shit, which is pretty prevalent in a house where I've already done half the job for you by boxing up all my stuff. So I think that by adding ratings and adding a price and a competitive marketplace, it just updates, that horrible, awful business model that I can set fire to a place where I can have transparency and see what's going on with an app that I can trust and people that I know aren't going to touch my stuff.
I hear you, Luke. The functionality is fine, but I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, great. This is just doing to cleaning what Uber has done to almost everything.
Which I don't think that's a problem.
It comes down to whether or not you think that there has been a cultural element to the rise of things like Uber and Airbnb and indeed Helpling, where we are taking an essential part of what used to be very bespoke industries and we're giving them a sort of a digital framework. And the digital framework can be quite potentially dehumanizing. I'd love to know where you stand on this. Let us know on Twitter. The hashtag is #DownloadThisShow. Finally here on the show, Google Glass. We thought it was dead. It launched to great controversy and even greater nerdiness and a touch of paranoia. Google Glass, you might remember, was the weird, slightly douchey-looking glasses that Google released where you could see the internet in your eye line.
It's Google's face computer.
Yeah, Google's face computer. You look like a knob. I tried it. Trust me, you look like a knob. Anyway, they hadn't talked about it for a very long time, and we all kind of assumed that it had died. Turns out there is a new Google Glass coming probably at the end of this year. And what the search giant has done, Claire, is they've pivoted towards making Google for industry purposes, as we understand it.
Yeah, they've realised that the whole Google Glass on the street thing might come across as a little bit creepy.
Just a little bit.
So now they're pivoting towards industry, which I think is not a bad idea. I'm interested to see where it can go. But I'm also interested to see how the hell is this going to work. So you go into a conference room, does everyone in the room need to have Google Glass?
Well, it's interesting because the first guy in Australia that I'm aware of that got Google Glass, he runs an industrial safety business and he actually bought it because he was interested in how you could use it for occupational health and safety purposes. So I think from that moment, it was kind of clear that as a consumer product, it was always going to be a little bit niche, but you could see sort of on building science and architecture and CAD and, you know, all those sorts of environments, you could look at it and go, actually, yeah, also medical applications I could imagine as well. Luke, are there sorts of things, and it's the details are obviously very light on the ground here, but are there sorts of things that you think that it would work well for that you can already perceive it being interesting for?
Notifications in a workplace are sort of this murky, horrible, difficult way of doing things where, you know, if you're on an Apple ecosystem, your notifications come from your top right. And if you're on a Windows ecosystem, obviously Microsoft's trying to make it a bit better with Windows 10, but not everyone's going to get that straight away. It's murky. It's difficult. Telling someone something in an office without disturbing them is really tough. If you have bone induction audio, so no one else could hear the notifications, which, oh my God, if you're in an office, please get a pair of headphones. And if you have...
I've never heard of bone induction audio before.
So it's a thing where the original Google Glass actually has a transmitter which actually sits on the back of your ear or just in front of your ear, I don't remember which,
yeah.
And actually vibrates your ear bones so that rather than actually playing sound directly into your ear. This was the very first-gen Google Glass. They replaced it with a headphone recently. But what it does is it actually vibrates the bones so that you can actually hear it. There are bone conduction headphones that you can get if you don't like stuff sitting in your ears. And it actually just vibrates the ear bones so that it actually stimulates the same audio response.
So, I mean, it wouldn't register as clearly as obviously something over your ear, but you'd certainly get a...
It sounds like you're listening to something which is about 2 inches away from your ear rather than on your ear, which is kind of nice. Plus, because there's nothing blocking your ear, it means that I can put it on in an office and not be antisocial. I can listen to my music, I can still have my notifications, but I can still talk to you guys, and it doesn't look like I'm wearing giant cans which say, "Don't talk to me."
The mere fact that you're wearing Google Glass in this scenario would suggest don't talk to me to begin with. But anyway,
back to the original point is if you can tell someone really nicely through Google Now cards that they have a meeting coming up or they've got an email or to replace that notebook on their desk is actually a really great way of standardizing notifications so that you can say to someone, here's what's coming up, here's what you're doing today. It's the virtual assistant that nobody has to move for. It's really fantastic. It makes you look like a pod person, but it's okay.
The new model is currently being reported to fold up like a traditional pair of glasses and would be more rugged for outdoor use, which I think would be consistent with some of the construction elements we were talking about before. Claire, outside of what we've already discussed, are there other applications you think it could be useful for?
I think it could be really useful in surgery. You know, if you're doing open heart surgery and you've got a bunch
which
of different...
Which I do all the time.
Don't want you looking at your Google Glass.
Well, do you
look at my heart.
Do you want them looking around at the machines around you or talking to the people
that's
in front
idea.
Of you?
Yeah,
or,
totally.
You know, you've got... TV has taught me that surgery is a very noisy experience. There are lots of different machines with lots of different noises and beepings and giving lots of different status updates as to various bodily functions. What if they took all of those notifications and put it into Google
Glass?
The
liver is trending.
I really want an app that just yells out stat in 3 to 5 seconds.
It's like Yo, but for stat.
Oh, God.
I think we've definitely worked out why Google Glass needs to exist.
Give me Periscope on it.
Yes,
Let me connect with my readers better.
Okay, for those of you that haven't heard, Periscope is a live streaming app that comes from Twitter, and it's become sort of a little bit popular. It's very early days yet.
It's a slow burn.
It's one of the leading live streaming video services connected to a social platform you can have.
Yeah, one of two.
Niche.
In terms of how Google Glass has been managed by Google up until this point, have they kind of messed up the messaging to the public? Because it launched and was almost, whilst there's obviously been a curiosity with it very early on, very quickly there was a lot of paranoia and a lot of issues about privacy and people thinking this is just a bunch of crazy utopian San Franciscans that didn't really think about this long and deeply. Have Google kind of messed up the messaging in terms of how they pushed it out into the world?
I think we actually said this on this very show when Google Glass 2 happened, is that Google Glass is the response to a need, quote unquote, need for wearables before wearables were a thing. Mm. If you have a look at how Google Glass manages your information, it gives you information in cards. It gives you like 6 minutes to your next meeting. Turn left at the next intersection. You're a huge douchebag for wearing this. Like little cards for actually showing you like information. That's actually been transposed into, the learnings from that have been transposed really, really nicely into Android Wear and subsequently into the Apple Watch as well, like in terms of how you're getting notifications and what you're being made aware of. It was the pre-wearable wearable. So now that It's now that smartwatches are here and everyone knows how to use cards a little bit better, I think Google Glass has more of a chance now because people know what the goddamn thing is for.
Yeah?
God, we're really not seeing eye to eye today. Look, I couldn't disagree with you.
I will fight you, IRL.
Let's take this outside.
Why do big tech companies need to prove that people will use something just to make it?
Like, because they need to sell them and make money from them?
I mean, I don't think so. Not straight away. Like, they're making money from things like Microsoft is making money from its services business. So is Google. Apple's making money on hardware. Awesome. Let's use all that cash from these big three tech companies just to make cool shit. Because if we can make cool stuff, like 13 people who made this don't know what 13 million people are going to do with it. So just make it, give it to them. And if it's shit, put it in a drawer.
I think that does speak to sort of the value of undirected research, you know, yes. Like famously.
So I love Google X. It's because they're just making stupid stuff.
I mean, famously, penicillin was the result of undirected research.
Who are you going to say Penn and Teller?
Or no. Wi-Fi.
Yeah, or Wi-Fi as well. You know, people investigating things come up with stuff and that eventually become key to our life. And the one interesting thing about Google is Google do commit to a lot of things that end up going nowhere. And I have a lot of, even though I do think Google Glass is a bit naff, deeply naff, I do like that as a company they are trying things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's great that Google is investing billions of dollars to creating stupid shit, but you're asking me about whether Google yeah. Glass would be useful for something. Is it useful? Sure. Is it going to have uptake? I don't know. The jury's out.
I personally am of the belief that Google Glass will, it could be my lack of imagination, and in 5 years' time, come back and find this episode and tell me I was wrong. But
The only reason I bring it up is because I'm sad that we just don't make stuff anymore. Everything has got to have, like, go prove it to the board, or go have a commercial use case for it, or who's going to be the market for this, or who's going to, who cares? Just make it.
And I guess isn't it also one of the rewards of being an incredibly rich company?
Yes, like, yeah. 100%. If you've made enough money, you put yourself in the position to do undirected research, if you have made billions and billions of dollars changing an industry already.
Well, the thing we haven't discussed is potential military applications.
Oh, God.
What if you put Google Glass technology on a drone and your drone software gave you a card that was like 20 meters, 10 meters, 5 meters?
I feel like you've been considering this for far too long.
Sorry. I just imagined a drone with its cute little face with the Google Glass on it. Just being like, guys, I can see you. Let's take a selfie. Oh, my God.
I think this is the end of this episode. I think when we've somehow combined Google Glass and armed drone, that is the apex of Download This Show. You don't get more Download This Show than that concept.
We've got peak Radio National right now.
We'd love to know, a lot of people listen to the show that work on a really vast array of industries. We'd love to know what your job is. And whether or not you think something like Google Glass, not necessarily Google Glass, but something like it could be useful in your job, let us know on the Facebook page. All you need to do is go to Facebook and chuck in ABCRN's Download This Show. Very big thank you to our dueling panellists this week. It's nice to have debate. Debate's great. Claire Connolly and Luke Hopewell, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Meet you in the car park.
Bring it.
Fisticuffs. My name's Mike Fennell, and thank you for listening to another episode of Download This Show.